And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio for this Wednesday, the 17th of December. So what's 7 and 17? 24? Okay, a week today, Christmas Eve. Right, very interesting conversation in the first hour with Senator Niall Blaney, Deputy Charles Ward on the defective concrete block scheme. I'll get to some of your comments that's coming through in relation to that and other things you've been messaging in relation to. We are broadcasting live from the City of Derry Airport today. Which it's always lovely to get out of the studio, of course, but we are here as we build up to Home for Christmas. This is where we, how do I say it, sprinkle that Highland Radio magic to make Christmas very special for a family. In fact, a Christmas that couldn't be if it wasn't for our intervention. So we are keeping our eyes on arrival boards, departure boards, and all that manner of thing. And we'll give you timelines just as soon as we have them accurately. But what I can say to you is that there are people traveling into this country to meet up with family. And it's going to be pretty special. So please do stay tuned for that and also the rest of what we've got going on for you today. Right, just to let you know, Stephen was messaging us to say that the A5 is closed, Newtown Stewart bypass, Cotton Glen, there's a 1 hour delay. Moving on to comments in relation to the defective concrete block scheme. For families with disabled members or specific needs, the new rules allow them to build a new home beside the crumbling one rather than in the exact same footprint. Senator Blaney is 100% right. Let's let the good news stories shine. And indeed, that has been welcomed and we've talked about that on this show. A caller says, absolutely shocking to allow a government senator in and attack the two Sinn Féin TDs and not have one of them on to defend themselves and the good work that both have done for defective block homeowners. I know who I'd go for help, and it ain't the senator. Deputies Pádraig McLaughlin and Deputies Piers Doherty well able to defend themselves. Obviously, I wasn't aware what Senator Blaney was going to say, but that's political opinion, and I'm sure the two deputies that I mentioned have had opportunity and will have opportunity to defend themselves. And that being said, I did put the point across that they are proposing a completely different scheme. So why would they look to amend the government one? And also, too, I did point out that in terms of, contributions to this current scheme, the scrutiny that we normally see with legislation, especially multi-billion euro legislation, was bypassed. So, listen, it's fair. Don't worry about that. The government gets plenty of touches too in comments and is not always there. We get the balance in the round. Hi, Greg. The scheme is a load of bull. The amount of people is out 40, 50, 70, 80, even 100 grand of their own money. It's a joke. Mr. Blaney's talking out of his bum. Another, the senator talks about taking flak. What about the mental health of this scheme on families? Surely they are more important, the listener says. Contractors can't get workers. Where's Niall getting more are coming into the scheme? Most want nothing to do with it because they can't get paid. Another, Greg, that Niall Blaney is arrogant regarding the scheme. This is the man who said homeowners were moaning in the past. He's like Charlie McConnell, oh, go for the party and price gouging contractors and screw the people. He did reference price gouging contractors himself, it must be said. But the caller goes on to say he feels safe in his party as people are so stupid to have voted them in. Morning, Greg. Can you ask those men why not one Donegal Council House with the same problems are not being repaired, or are they not on the list at all? They're not on the list at all. We are still awaiting a scheme for social housing. And I do be conscious every time we talk about this and we talk about the plight of people in private properties. And I know personally people living in very, very poor council property, and we are still awaiting the government scheme in relation to that. Not forgotten, trust me. A caller says, I don't often agree with Senator Niall Blaney, but we do need more positivity around this scheme. Another, the scheme relies on an old standard, that's IS 465, as you would know, on mica. The pyrrhotite factor has shown that pyrrhotite and iron sulfide is often the real culprit. It oxidizes and causes an internal sulfate attack that destroys foundations. So families need immediate action, not making families go through this twice. And I was on the PTSB. I was on the PTSP mortgage portal yesterday, and mica houses is how they reference it, which is kind of worrying, right? Because we know now that a house can have certain levels of mica and will not suffer deterioration, yet still the system seems to think mica is the problem. Another, what about the council houses? They say they got no funding yet. No, they haven't. I don't know why Mark Blaney's on Highland Radio. He's an unelected politician that Donegal people rejected. The party has pitchforked him to the Senate, not the people. He's a party politician because they use taxpayers' money to pay his wages. He's let us down. We should have been treated the same as Leinster. Could you ask Mr. Blaney to stop gaslighting your listeners? He has no idea how this how his words are destroying our lives. He didn't help us in Carndonagh a few years ago. He's continuing to not be honest on your show, especially regarding rates. You might not agree with him, but he's not being dishonest. That is his view. As I say, though, you might not disagree with him. The caller says, this is shocking from a so-called government representative. Our lives are being destroyed here. If Mr. Blaney is so up to date with rates, etc., perhaps he should have been put in charge of building the bike shed. And on it goes. Wow, okay, dozens more, which I just don't have time to get to right now. Just to mention before I take a break and then welcome our guests into our broadcasting space here. The show continues in terms of the car draw, by the way. It's the Big Highland Radio Cash and Car Draw. We have 3,000 euro to give away over the course of the next 3 days, and then of course a beautiful 35,000 euro plus brand new Renault Symbios worth in excess of 35,000 euro on 261 plates for one of you, the lucky listeners. Where will today's 1,000 euro prize go? Well, it could go to you if you haven't got your tickets yet. It's not too late. You still have four draws, and you've got until 3:15 today to get into all four draws. 1,000 today on Ivan's show tomorrow, Lee Gucci's show on Friday, and then we'll give away the car next week on this program. So how do you buy your tickets? Go onto the website, highlandradio.com, or you can also give us a call on 074-91-25000, 074-91-25000. Don't miss out. If you're going to enter, do so now, and then you are in all four of those draws.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're broadcasting live today from City of Derry Airport. We're joined by two guests now, Tracy Duffy, Security Manager. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you getting on?
All good.
It's good to have you with us. Yes. Oh, good to have you with us. Thanks for having us here. I'm still in studio mode. I'm back in Letterkenny in my head. And Marisa McWilliams, Senior Marketing Executive at City of Derry Airport. Good morning to you, Marisa.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. And it's a beautiful facility, isn't it? There's just something special about a regional airport. It's just a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit more homely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talk to me about the airport. What's it like at this time of year? We see the Christmas trees and all that type of stuff. Does it become a particularly nice place to work?
Absolutely.
Well, you see most of it actually as security, don't you, really?
This is probably one of the best weeks of the year to work at the airport. I suppose, in a way, we're the pathway to connecting families that maybe haven't seen each other for a long periods of time, some for years. Some of the scenes we see here at our arrivals hall is very heartwarming, some very emotional. You know, sometimes you've got grandchildren that are coming home for the first time, meeting grandparents, and it's very heartwarming. It's a lovely time of the year to be here.
Yeah, it is indeed. Security, what's it like working in security, right? Because, I mean, obviously, in terms of scale, this is not as big as Belfast Airport or Dublin Airport, right? But in terms of security, all the same rules apply, right?
All the same rules apply. That's what we try to tell everyone. It's a busy time of the year. Obviously, the flight loads are very high at this time of year, both inbound and outbound. And it's just the same as any other airport. You know, you come, you queue. But we do pride ourselves in that because it is a small airport, you know, you can go from the car park, get checked in, go through security and be in the departure lounge within 10 to 15 minutes on some of our flights.
How frustrating is it when we turn up and we have liquids that are above what we should have?
Well, the regulations changed this year, so it's a bit easier now for both us and for the passengers. So you can carry liquids now up to 2 litres within your hand luggage, as long as they fit within that space.
And what other changes came in?
You can also carry your large electrical items, so your laptops and all those type of things can also stay within your cabin baggage whenever you're travelling.
So that actually is, you know, it's great for us as travellers, but it's
great for both.
Makes life easier for you guys. And do you actually see things move quicker as a result of things like
absolutely.
That?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Huge difference for the passenger journey through here. Absolutely.
Yeah, and Marisa, the one thing about an airport too, we often, I think, in our minds think about outward journeys because we think very personally, right? But at an airport like this, in terms of inward traffic as well, you know, there's great benefits for us having access to different parts of the islands and the world. But also too, this is an opportunity for people to get into the Northwest and holiday and explore and visit and all that type of stuff. And we benefit in Donegal very much so from that.
People traveling from all over the world into the Northwest with Loganair's connectivity to 119 international destinations. It means that people can truly travel from the world and through the Northwest via Heathrow. And obviously that's how we're bringing this family home this morning via from Melbourne via Heathrow. So it's changed things for the Northwest.
In terms of the routes that are available now, what is on offer from this airport?
So Loganair look after our Heathrow service, which operates three times daily, and our Glasgow service. EasyJet launched for the first time ever in the Northwest in November 2024. They launched with Liverpool and Edinburgh, and they've since launched Birmingham as well this year. So it goes to show how well it's selling, and we hope that EasyJet services will continue to grow. Ryanair also look after our Manchester service. In addition, we have seasonal operations, so the likes of Top Flight for Schools, they look after our Verona School Ski Programme. That's now gone into its fourth consecutive year, sold out every year. Joe Walsh Tours looks after our Lourdes pilgrimages, and Marion Tours looks after our Medjugorje pilgrimages. So there's something on offer for all ages, all demographics, and the fact that it is such a small, convenient airport to go through, single-level access, no stairs or escalators, it's a dream for young families, older people travelling, and everybody really does enjoy their travel experience at City of Derry Airport.
Yeah, and of course, always looking for new opportunities, new routes. That's constantly, I don't know how far ahead you have to plan, but you're always looking ahead, aren't you? Sort of what options are here, there and everywhere, because it's bums on seats too. The air industry can be a little bit ruthless like that, right? I mean, obviously we've got this exciting flight from Dublin on the cards, right? And that's going to be supported and quite rightly so, I think. But in terms of just, you know, the majority of flights, it's down to, you know, footfall and capacity and you know, obviously things are going well when you're seeing three flights to London a day, etc.
Absolutely. Before we even bring a new route on, we have to prove the demand that's there for it before we even approach airlines. So our team have worked so hard over the last few years, and, you know, it's the proof's there when you see the number of new routes that are already established. We're delighted to welcome the new Dublin service back in October 2026. We'll be announcing the airline carrier probably late spring next year. But it'll be amazing to take away that for a road journey for people living in Donegal that are driving down to Dublin all the time. And it's also a huge opportunity for inbound tourism as well, because people that travel in through Dublin could now add the Northwest to their itineraries. So, we're delighted to have it back.
Do you anticipate door-to-door kind of packages whereby you can, you know, fly from Derry onward through London, but you do the bulk of the checking in here? I don't know what that's called. Go on. Do you know what I'm on about, Tracy? Sort of pre-clearance and stuff like that?
Yeah, so transit passengers, you can check in here and have your luggage and all transferred right through to your destination airport.
Do you like the way Marisa did the tough question?
Yeah. I've seen that there.
But do you know what? And I'll tell you one thing. It's good management is when everyone has their role and they're allowed to do their role. That's always a sign of good management. Right, we won't delay you any further. It's starting to get a bit busy now. You see it in cycles, I'm sure, Tracy, don't you? Whereby
absolutely.
There's lulls and highs and lulls and highs, but you can just, the life is coming into the airport again.
Yeah, it is.
Not that it wasn't here, but we were here early, you know, so.
Yeah.
Listen, it's been lovely having you both on. Anything you want to add that I haven't talked about, or are we good?
No, just that we're very happy to be part of this campaign. We're delighted to be able to facilitate this.
And we're very lucky to have these types of facilities on our doorsteps as well, because, you know, a lot of the passengers, Marisa, coming through this airport are from the Republic as well, from Donegal. So.
They are. 40% are actually coming from Donegal, so it's a hugely important market for us. So we hope we can continue to meet the demands for travellers there.
We keep laying on the routes and we'll keep demanding them. Thanks very much, the both of you.
Thank
Excellent
you.
Stuff. That's Tracy Duffy, the security manager. here at City of Derry Airport, and also Marisa McWilliams, who is the Senior Marketing Manager. Right, okay, we are here for the build-up to Home for Christmas. It is very exciting. It's a very exciting time of the year. It's where we are able to, through various means, and we'll speak to Sean Cohen a little later on to sort of outline that, but we're able through various means to make a Christmas incredibly special for a family here in the Northwest. And I can tell you now that this year is being done a little bit differently, because there is a little bit of foreknowledge, but nothing beats that moment that those arrival area doors open and family that haven't seen each other for a very long time, or an entire family that hasn't spent Christmas together for a generation. We're going to have people meeting family for the first time. We're going to be speaking to some of the people involved in that very shortly on the show as we begin the build-up to that. The flight which will make all our dreams come true will be landing during the course of this program, but you won't miss a thing, right? And we also invite you to watch the show as well. It's going to be a very visual experience for you. We always welcome you watching. We love our listeners. That's 99% of you, but we love your viewing as well. If you miss anything, by the way, we'll have all this up on social media for to catch up, so you'll not miss a thing one way or other. Right, our next guest is going to be joining us on the show very shortly, but we do have to take a commercial break. We'll be back live from the City of Derry Airport, ding dong, in about 3 minutes. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're live here from the City of Derry Airport. And I've got a couple of very special guests I'll be speaking to in a moment. But another very special lady, of course, is a friend of the programme, Mary Cole from the Donegal Food Response Network. She is the chairperson of that group. Mary, lovely to see you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. And how are you keeping?
I'm absolutely full of the cold.
Are you really? I've been speaking to people that had it last week, and it's come back again for a second go at the Mary. Hopefully you'll be okay for the big day, though.
I know. But look, we'll pick ourselves up and we'll just carry on. That's the best thing we do, isn't it?
No better woman than yourself for that. Where are we, Mary, before we talk about the strategic plan? Where are we at the moment in terms of demand and meeting demand of families that are struggling in the lead up to Christmas?
Do you know, it's actually very worrying, the amount of people now that are looking for food parcels and food packages. There's 21 food banks and pantries scattered all over Donegal. And up until now, we were supporting 1,387 families and 549 individuals. That's a hell of a lot of food packages going out. You're talking about over 100,000 food packages going out. Now, we spent the day yesterday, we prepared over 40 bags and boxes to go out. Another four have come in this morning, Greg, and another two individuals looking for food packages. So it's absolutely... it's crazy in this day and age that we should be preparing this amount of food for families just before Christmas.
The only small glimmer in this is that people are coming forward, which is important if people are struggling, isn't it? Do you get where I'm coming from? You know, like, it's awful that the number is so high, but I'm so pleased that people realise the help is there in the community and are reaching out for it.
Oh, absolutely, Greg. And it is such a confidential service. We all work together. We all rely on each other to help each other out. And anybody that comes to us, it is very confidential. Nobody knows who they are. We keep that all secret. So anybody that's out there struggling, it is very important to make contact with your local food bank or make contact with me here. And we'll ensure that they get food or whatever they need for Christmas. And it's not just food, you know, there's other bits and pieces. You know yourself, Christmas time, everybody's waiting for that little gift and you think, you know, but at the moment I'm very, very angry with our government, very angry with our government, because we shouldn't be in this situation. And community and voluntary groups should not be filling these gaps. And that's really what brought us to we've been working on the strategic plan, which we are getting a lot of help from DLDC. So we have been working on our strategic plan. So as we have a document put together to go to government and say, we can't keep doing this. We as community and voluntary groups can't keep doing this, can't keep filling the gaps. They have to, food should be accessible to everybody. Nobody should go hungry at Christmas. Nobody should have to come and ask. It is, do you know what, Greg? It's a disgrace.
Mary, we as a people, and I'm not going to say the government because people might say I'm being anti this, that and that, but we as a people should be able, this gaslighting that we've our GDP growth, 9.85%. The nearest rival was 3%. This country is booming. And we should be embarrassed that we have anyone that has to go asking for food. The fact that we can't figure out some mechanism to get a fraction of that money down to the people that need it to actually eat, you know, that is a incredibly shameful blight on us as a people.
Absolutely. It is unbelievable. You know, it used to be people on social welfare. It used to be people on low income, but now it is the working class people. And I really don't care. You're in a much different position than I am. I really don't care about the government. I don't care who I upset, because at the end of the day, we work on the ground with the people that need this. We waste so much money. I don't know how many lavish dinners that I have been invited to since the beginning of December. And Greg, when I look at you and look at me, and I said this the other day, we don't need any more lavish dinners. You know, what we need is the money to filter down to the ground to the people that need it.
Yeah. And as I say, you know, there are so many gaps in services between, you know, autism services, the stuff that you guys are doing, the other stuff that you're involved in terms of getting people to cancer treatment. You know, the fact that we rely so much on community and voluntary organizations, sometimes you wonder if everyone downed tools, would the message get across? I'm not suggesting that for a moment, Mary, but you just wonder maybe, and carers, let me throw carers in there as well too, if you don't mind. You know, is the penny going to drop that if it wasn't for what you and others are doing, the state this country would be in is far, far worse now. It would be far more than 300,000 people in electricity arrears. It would be far more than 260,000 children living in poverty. It'd be far more than 15,000 people homeless. It's only you guys that are actually keeping those numbers at these embarrassingly high levels.
It's terrible, Greg, and I'm not going to name names. I'm not going down that route. But at the strategic plan the other day, it was the elephant in the room was the fact that there was very little to nobody there representing the government. Nobody. What actually there was one, and there was an apology in from somebody. But other than that, you're talking about county councillors, you're talking about TDs, you're talking about nobody, because they don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear how bad things are on the ground. And if you look at Donegal, and you look at the food poverty, you look at all the people that we help in the cancer flight, you look at the makeup problems, you mentioned the carers yourself, where is it all going to end?
You see, what I think the fundamental problem is that I think particularly when you get into position, an elected position, you become isolated. You get surrounded by yes people. You get surrounded by people that tell you that what you're doing is right. And I think, too, what you stop doing is you stop engaging with negativity, so you don't actually hear the opposition. You don't actually, and I don't mean the opposition in political terms, the opposition to policies. And I believe, and I've seen it, I believe you become insulated from it. And you actually do genuinely believe that everything's okay and we're just a pack of moaners. I think that's what happens.
Oh, and what a load of nonsense that is. What a load of nonsense. If we all isolated ourselves from what is negative around us and the people that need help, where would that leave them? Where would it leave it? When I look at the government, I always think that the one thing they should do before anything else is look after their own people. Is there not a duty of care there that they would look after their own people? You know, it's absolutely shameful, Greg. It's shameful that this is happening. You know, but we do intend after Christmas to take our strategic plan and make ourselves known in the Dáil and look for the support we need for our own people that
I think it's time just to start calling people out directly, left, right and centre, because this is in every community of this country. It's in every corner of this county, and it's in every community. And it's they're quiet, they're silent, you know, they're not speaking out. Because obviously they've got much more on their mind in doing so. And that's why it's so important to have people like yourself advocating. And we've been speaking, and it's been brushstrokes because of my fault. We're speaking about the Donegal Food Response Network. It's launched its first ever strategic plan, 26 to 30. And what we might do, if you're open to it, Mary, because we're coming up to Christmas and its particular challenges, is that maybe you might make your way into studio with us or us out to you, and we'll do a particular feature on this strategic plan and dig down really deep into what's going on in this county and how it's affecting people, and leave it to the point whereby that information is out there to such an extent that it cannot be ignored. And if it's ignored, then people will be able to draw their own conclusions. I'd be very interested in that, and if you would.
Absolutely.
And anyone else you think would be suitable to get involved in that conversation.
Yeah, that would be great, Greg, because what we need now is we need your voice. We need, you know, we need people behind us to bring this message home to our politicians, to our public representatives. We need to be shouting loud and clear, and we need them to hear us. And we're going into Christmas now, and you know, the biggest job in front of us now to ensure that we have all these packages delivered on time, give the people what they need, so as we all have a good Christmas together.
Okay, finally, how can we support you?
Get the message out there, Greg. That is the biggest way that you can support me.
We'll do that January. We'll do that. We're gonna do that in January. It's gonna be in a different show, but doing the same stuff. I'll speak to you then. Have a very happy Christmas. If I don't speak to you between now and then, Mary, I hope you get well soon. It's a horrible old dose that's going about. All right,
look
after yourself. You get a wee noggin or something, or whatever is the polite way to call a whiskey on the radio. Look after yourself. Look after yourself.
Thanks a million, Greg.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us. That is the irrepressible in terms of helping people and advocating for people, Mary Coyle. I'm going to take a very short break, and then we're going to start talking about why we're here in the first place. It is home for Christmas, and I've got two very calm people in front of me externally, but I think it might be like the little ducks. The legs might be going like nobody's business under the water, and I'll be speaking to our guests after this very short break. Right, we are broadcasting live today, as I've mentioned to you, but people tune in at different times all the time. We're broadcasting live here from the city of Derry Airport, and I've got two incredibly special guests in front of me, Bernadette and Brendan Devlin. A very good morning to both of you. How are you getting on?
Divine.
Are you okay?
Divine.
Yeah, okay, right. So we are here waiting patiently.
Yeah.
It's part of Home for Christmas. Who are we waiting on, Brendan?
Ronan and Claire and the three youngsters.
And where are they coming to us from?
They're coming from
Melbourne.
Bernadette, how long is it since all of the family have been together for Christmas?
It's definitely 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you have family across the world? Or?
We have, yeah. We have a son in
Vancouver,
a daughter in England, in Croydon, and two girls, Roisin and Kira, in Belfast.
Okay, so they're scattered all over
the
place.
They're all over the place.
Really,
it's not fair.
And talk to me about Claire and the family.
Yeah.
So she's the furthest, well, I suppose one of the furthest away in Australia.
She's actually been there for 10 years now. Yeah. They love it. It's just so far away. But Claire's always, every morning, on
FaceTiming
us, and every evening and every night, and even she comes again at night time to say night night again.
Yeah. And by the way, just to recap, I'm speaking to Bernadette and Brendan Devine. There'd have been a spell check here issue, and it said Devlin. Brendan, it's lovely to see people, and listen, thank God we've got the technology to do so. But that's not the same as an embrace, is it, or a conversation, or that personal, being in the personal presence of someone?
Yeah, it's lovely to meet people that I haven't met before, and to think what yous are doing for us, and I'm really over the moon about it.
Yeah, but sorry, I was distracted there. What I'm saying is it's lovely that you can talk to your kids on FaceTime and what have you, but to see people in person, that's what really makes the difference.
That's completely different, yeah.
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 All right, okay. And Bernadette, particularly mums get that as well. We do too, don't get me wrong. We wear our hearts on our sleeves, but I think mums, that maternal bond is just something else, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So who's travelling over today, Bernadette?
It's from Australia?
Yes.
Yeah. It's Claire and Ronan, her husband, and Barra, who's 6 years of age, and Tiernan, who's three, and Lockie, who's 10 weeks old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, of your grandchildren in Australia, you haven't met them all then?
No, we haven't met Lockie.
Oh, wow.
No.
This will be our first time.
He's a newborn.
He's a newborn, yeah.
This is the first time to meet him.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How does that feel?
Can't wait.
Feels good.
But also, too, even, I mean, obviously the three-year-old, a baby, it's still a baby, but you know what I mean, last time. And six-year-old, three to six, it's like such a big change, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Unbelievable. That
Wow, it's so exciting. It's so special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is not really to talk about what Highland Radio's done. That's not the point of it. But the truth of the matter is that if it wasn't for Home for Christmas, Claire wasn't going to be able to make it for Christmas.
No,
we wouldn't be able to have this reunion. And I say reunion, but it's not a reunion with the babies. It's a first-time union.
Exactly.
Exactly. And we're having them all home, which is great.
Brilliant.
To have them all home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Who's doing the cooking?
Well,
don't say Bernadette, do not say you're eating out.
Well, no. This is something different, I was told. Go ahead.
She's actually barred out of the kitchen this year. So the girls, Roisin and Kira, is doing the cooking this year.
Brendan, you don't believe for a second they're going to keep her out of the kitchen.
Oh, she'll have to be. The door will have to be locked.
Greg, about 3 weeks ago, Roisin and Kira were at home. And when they came in, they said, "Mommy, we want you to sit down and we're going to say something to you and you have to say yes. And I said, "No, I can't do that because I don't know what you're asking me, so I might be in bother." And they went on and eventually I said, "All right, what is it?" So we sat down and they said, "Yeah, you're not doing the cooking for Christmas this year." And I nearly had heart attack. I said, "What?" And then, because you're always doing it, and this year you're going to sit and talk to everybody that's there, that everybody that's home, and we'll do all the cooking. And after a wee while, I did give in.
Did you take a wee bit of convincing?
It took me a long time.
Yeah, okay. But you have to stick to your word now. You have to be waited on hand and foot.
Yeah, and it was it Roisin that said, "Sure, every year you're that busy doing, you're not even talking to any of us, you're busy cooking."
So this year, kitchen,
in the kitchen. So this year I'm not going to be in the kitchen on Christmas Day. I'm going to be in the room talking to all the youngsters that are home.
Isn't that lovely? Mm. Yeah, and you've come to terms with that too. You're going to stick to it now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put you in a position, Brendan, and ask if this is an upgrade or
do
a downgrade.
Not do that.
Very good indeed. So it's going to be a packed house on Christmas Day.
It's going to be a full house, yeah.
But you know what? Sorry, go ahead, Bernadette.
I was going to say there'd be about 15, 16 would be in it.
Yeah.
15 we know about.
Yeah. And, you know, I know for myself, I'm from a bigger family, and it's just very hard to get everyone under the one roof, you know.
Around Christmas time.
Especially.
Sure is.
And, Brendan, like all families too, there's always something going on, isn't it? And you've had your fair old share of stuff.
We had a tough couple of years. Brendan was diagnosed with cancer during COVID. And 2 months after that, I was diagnosed.
God almighty.
So, Bernard, thank God, has got all clear.
But I was going to say, Bernard, because I didn't want to say it till you said that, Brendan. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you're looking fantastic. So, but, you know,
you.
I would have felt bad if I'd have said that and you mm-hmm. were not feeling that. But you look,
yeah,
you look wonderful. And
thank
what about
God.
You, Brendan?
Mine is treatable but not curable.
Yeah.
So I'm on treatment for life.
Yeah. But so, thank God the treatment's there. Now, I know lots of people in that situation, and you just crack on with it. And
Only thing I find, I just can't do the things I used to do, you know.
Yeah. Are you sure that's not just Father
Time?
Little
bits and pieces about the house. But
because I'm finding neither can I.
But I'm not fit to do that anymore.
Yeah. But you know what? It's no harm taking the foot off the pedal a little bit, isn't it? You know, because it means we have days like this whereby, you know, we have the health for everyone to get together and mm-hmm. celebrate. It's so exciting.
Certainly so.
Yeah. Do you know who's I know with stuff like that's happened in my family? When you, ironically, I found anyway that when you were my mother would have been you know, parents get sick. Let me just put it to you like that. And I was living next door, and it was easier because then I had family that were living in England. And it was more difficult mm-hmm. for them. You would think it would be the other way.
Mm-hmm. The other way, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. But it just because you're there all the time, you have all the proper information, and you can you can process it.
That's right.
More naturally. But when you're away, so that makes that makes. I'm sure that everyone's going to be delighted to come back and just celebrate the fact that you're both
certainly. Both sure, well. It'll be brilliant. I'd say they'll need a sleep right now if they'll be. A couple of days we'll not see them, but
you see what we need them to do, right? I think they've been traveling for 40 hours, right?
They have,
with three kids, a baby.
Mm-hmm.
We just need them to pretend everything's great for 15 minutes and then they can go on and sleep. But do you know the good thing too is with them coming over, when they're coming over, you have a full week with them before Christmas as well. There's
That's
a lot
right.
of catching up
mm-hmm.
to do and family all over the place.
Certainly so.
All right, what's your role at Christmas? So we know Bernadette ordinarily is the chef. Now she's going to be able to relax this Christmas, mm-hmm. right?
What's my role is do nothing.
Yes. And how well
sit
do you
back,
do that?
Sit back and relax, you know.
It sounds like a scene out of the royal family, isn't it?
I let the girls do all the
hard
work.
And Ronan. Ronan's really good, isn't he?
Ronan's very good.
There's just something about this time of year, isn't it, where you can, you know, where you can just relax a little bit. And you can relax knowing your whole family's under the one roof.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like I know when my boys, they're only in Galway and that, but when everyone's under the one roof, you go to sleep a bit different, don't you?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Because there might be big people in different parts of the world, but they're still our children.
Yeah.
You know.
Perfect.
Right, so now we need you to Bernadette, you look like you could get a right gonk, so we need you to deep breaths, right, for when they come through
my
the doors.
My heart is
I was
thumping.
Say, Brendan looks a little bit more relaxed, but I can tell you're up to high dough internally.
I am up to high dough. Yeah. I have been up to high dough from when, Brendan?
We've got some lovely audio that we'll play a little later on in the programme, or maybe closer to the family's arrivals, where Sean Quinn rang you and rang your daughter, and it's just such raw emotion. But if you got through that, we'll get through today, Bernadette. All right, we'll be
fine. I can't believe that phone call.
But when we were sort of discussing this, we were talking about how in the past, you know, it's been a complete surprise right up until the moment of the arrival. But whilst you have foreknowledge of it, the anticipation or the belief that it's real, that only comes when those double doors open.
I know.
That's very true.
And they
that
come through half asleep. Well, come here. Listen, it's very clear talking to the two of you that this couldn't happen to a nicer couple and a nicer family.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
And we're going to... I think the flight now is due in at 12:30.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to drink plenty of water. We're going to sit down. We're going to relax. Maybe get something to eat, Bernadette. A wee whiskey and tea or something. And or whatever. And we look forward to it. And you're going to have the most amazing Christmas.
Well, you're making it amazing. It's just fantastic. Thank you all
Thank you, Greg.
You've
all
been so
good. Thank the whole team.
Honestly, I can't thank you enough.
No, we can't. We are blessed to be able to do anything like this. I hope you understand
that
too.
We appreciate it very, very much.
It's not a job. It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. So we can't wait. Right, we might chat before now and then, but for now I won't take any more from you.
Okay, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Okay.
That is Bernadette and Brendan Devine, who, as you can imagine, are just up to high dough because their entire family is coming together for the first time in years for Christmas. And Claire, who's in Australia with her family, wasn't going to be able to make it here, but because of the magic of Home for Christmas and the hard work of Sean Quinn and Corinne and Anya, it is going to happen. We know they are on the way. They are in the air. They're about to land in an hour and a half or something along those lines. So anticipation is building. It's very exciting. Bernadette, every time I mention it, she goes into... I can see the eyes welling, but we'll be good. All right, back after these with the... What are you saying? Oh, I think it's not just you'll need them. There's a few around here who might need them too. All right, we'll be back with more after the news at 11. Thanks, Brendan. Thanks, Bernadette.